Today we want to think on the subject of the blood of Christ, and our key verse is found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The story is told of the Scottish patriot named Robert Bruce that he was once hiding in the mountains from the forces of King Edward of England when he heard the baying of bloodhounds. He suddenly realized that the baying was that of his own dogs. His English enemies had put them on his track, sure that they would lead them straight to their owner. Although worn out from hardships and lack of food, the Scottish patriot rose up at once and fled as rapidly as possible. But it was in vain. Only one end seemed possible to him. The baying dogs came closer and closer. The fugitive was at the point of despair when suddenly he came upon a brook. Quickly he entered the water and walked downstream. Shortly afterwards, the dogs were at the bank. The tone of the barking dogs changed as they worked upstream and down without finding the continuation of the trail. Bruce was able to elude his enemies because the dogs were unable to find the trail under the water. What a picture this is of the sinner. Bruce's own hounds were his pursuers. The sinner is pursued by his own sins. Every man's own sins are sure to track him down and destroy him. What should the sinner do? There's only one way, and thank God there is one in which the guilty sinner can be saved from the judgment of God. He must hide himself in the current that flows from Calvary. There, Jesus Christ paid with his own blood in order to freely offer pardon to every sinner. The bloodhounds of sin are at your heels, but there is hope for you. God loves you still, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. As 1 John 1:7, the end of 1 John 1:7 says. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ, first of all, is conclusive. And conclusive means that it's final, the end, nothing else to be said or added. Every person is a sinner and bears a heavy load of sin. In 1 John 1, verse 8, it says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And so every person has a sin nature. And then verse 10 says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So we not only have a sin nature, but because of that, we commit acts of sin. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. How can we have our sin forgiven? Where can we go for cleansing? In Hebrews chapter 9, the end of verse 22, we read, "And without shedding of blood, there is no remission." Throughout the Old Testament, thousands upon thousands of animals were sacrificed and their blood was shed. Could these pay sin's penalty and cleanse the person from sin? Notice Hebrews 10:1-4. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipper once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there was a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. And then notice verse 11, and every high priest stood daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, and then notice, which can never take away sin. But then we read in Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 14, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Can the shed blood of any other person, the sacrifice of animals couldn't pay for our sin, but could the shed blood of any other person besides Jesus or religious leader pay sin's penalty? Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. Now that's very clear. And then again, 1 John 1:7 said, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. And it doesn't say this, but it means, and his alone cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is conclusive. It's final. In other words, there's no other way. There's no other one. And there's no other sacrifice that could pay for sin. Someone has written, before the cross in awe I stood, beholding brow and pierced hands. For me it was he, referring to Jesus, bled and died. No other price for sin beside could pay the price for me. His precious blood, there flowing red, was love's best gift, more freely shed. No one but he the price could pay, or save from death and point the way for sinners, you and me. Secondly, the blood of Jesus Christ is inclusive, and that means it's all-embracing, all-comprehensive. It includes all, everyone. Again, remember 1 John 1:7 said, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Which sins does Christ's blood cleanse? Is it lying or stealing or swearing and cheating, but not murder or adultery or idolatry? Is this what the Bible says? Are there some people so bad that there is no hope for them? About 50 years ago, there was a series of articles in the Cincinnati Inquirer about a young man who was 21 years of age, and his name was Thomas Clifford Hept. Thomas was under an indictment which charged him with a first-degree murder, and it was committed during a robbery of a Shell gasoline station. The crime was called one of the most brutal Cincinnati had seen in years. In one of the articles written by Inquirer staff reporter James Devaney was this statement from the lips of Thomas. He said, "Every guy has a book up there in the sky that is written out for him before he is born. It tells what has to happen to you. My book says it's time for me to die. They're going to give me the chair, and I'm going to hell. That's the way it has to be. But it doesn't have to be that way. Regardless of what a person has done and how awful those or some deed has been, if that person will place their trust in Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And that was the Apostle Paul writing, and he said, "I'm the worst of sinners, but Jesus Christ came into the world to save me, to shed His blood for even me." One Christmas, we had a tree we trimmed on Christmas Eve. The whole lighting effect was to be accomplished with red bulbs. And when our work was finally done, we turned out all the other lights in the room so that the bulbs on the tree should give out the only illumination. We saw a startling thing. Near the base of the tree, we had put a poinsettia plant, having some red flowers and some white flowers. When the other lights were turned out and the red lights were turned on, it was absolutely impossible to determine which of the poinsettia flowers had red petals and which had white. They were all white under the red lights. What a perfect illustration that is of what happens to our sins when we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, regardless of what they might be. Going back into the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Yes, Jesus died and shed His blood so that all of our sin, regardless of what we've committed, if we repent, could be forgiven and washed away. And then thirdly, the blood of Jesus Christ is exclusive. And that means it can be enjoyed only by a certain few. And it is restricted to a certain few. And that seems contrary to what we've just said, but you need to listen to what I'm saying. If Jesus died for the sins of all men, then how could we say that His blood is exclusive, enjoyed only by a certain few? God wants everybody to be saved, and the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cleanse every person from sin, but only those who trust him as their Savior will experience the cleansing power of his blood. In Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 26, we read, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a satisfaction," notice, "through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Notice it says it's by faith. Only those who come to Christ and accept him and ask for forgiveness by faith are forgiven. So it says in this portion, it's upon all them that believe. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Ephesians 1, verse 7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." And then verse 15 says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all the saints." You see, those who have faith in Christ are cleansed by the shed blood. Every person who refuses to trust Jesus Christ as Savior remain condemned in their sin and does not experience and enjoy Christ's cleansing power. Jesus told of a certain ruler who came to him with an important question, and we read this back in Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, we have the question, verse 18. "And a certain ruler asked him," Jesus, "saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now that's the question. And then verses 20 to 21 reveal that he was a very, very moral person. But then we read in verses 22 and 23, "And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And then come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich." You see, Jesus didn't mean that if he sells everything, then he could have his sin forgiven. He was just telling him, what's necessary is that you sell all of your wealth and then follow me and trust me. You see, this man was, what his wealth stood between him and the Lord, and therefore he refused to place his trust in Jesus Christ for cleansing and for salvation. And the result was he went away sorrowful. Do you want real joy? Do you want the joy of sins forgiven? Then you need to place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has written, "When they crucified my Savior on the cross of Calvary, there a blessed fountain was open for my cleansing, full and free, and my sins were all forgiven just by faith in his shed blood. They are washed away forever by the crimson flood. Now I plead the blood of Jesus, and he's with me all the way. I am happy and rejoicing in his favor every day. In the burden and the trial, there is none so kind as he. My Redeemer is my kinsman, and his blood saves me. He will robe me with white raiment when my pilgrimage is past, and prepare me pure and spotless with the sanctified at last. I will sing his praise and glory unto all eternity, telling evermore the story how his blood saves me." Is there a time that by faith you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and admitted that you were a sinner and asked God to forgive all of your sin, to wash it away, and to give you eternal life? If you've never made that decision, then we would encourage you to do it today. For coming to Jesus Christ by faith is the only way you can have your sin forgiven and be assured of heaven after you leave this earth. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had in your word. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus died on the cross for the sin of every person that's ever lived and that will ever live. We thank you for that. And we thank you that every person, by just coming to Christ by faith and asking him to forgive their sin, can have the assurance that their sin is forgiven. And when they leave this life, they'll be with the Lord forever in heaven. And we thank you for that. So, Father, again, we just pray that if there's anybody that hasn't made that decision, that they'll make it today. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.